Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
At 1:18, the NFL has a system in place to try to help itself when it comes to falling attendance that I'd never heard of. Explain it to you and see what you think about that coming up in about 14 minutes. Also on the show today at 1:30, Mike Stanton, longtime Major League Baseball reliever, lives in Houston and is a pre- and post-television analyst on the Astros TV network. Astros are in all kinds of trouble.
Nobody's happy with the Astros right now.
Fired their manager, fired their GM, and they are the laughing stock of the sport at this moment. So we'll ask Stanton what it's like right now around that ball club. But a team that is not maligned in its sport, the Washington Capitals, one of the most successful programs in hockey over the last decade. Big reason why, Nicholas Backstrom. And they will have Backy under contract after a massive extension for the next 5 years after this one. We're joined right now on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline by our buddy Craig Lachlan for his weekly appointment. Presented by American Standard Heating and Air. Find your local contractor at midatlanticcomfort.com. Locker, thanks as always for the time. How about that new contract for the agent and the player, Nicholas Backstrom?
I love it, fellas. I knew it was coming right around the corner. I think the fact that they got him wrapped up is critical for the Caps' success. The Caps want to win another cup. To do that, it's got to be part of the package with Nick Backstrom. I mean, up the middle now, more so than wingers and probably more than D in the NHL. Power up the middle leads to more success. When you have a four-man punch up the middle with Backstrom, Kuznetsov, Eller, and Dowd, that's enough strength to win. Other teams that are looking to win the Cup don't have that type of lineage up the middle, and that's why they're not going to win. That's why when you look at drafts recently, you look at a lot of teams looking for big centers to have big results. And to sign Backstrom for 5 years, to be honest with you, it probably was a hometown discount because I think on the open market, he could have easily got over 10 mil per year if he wanted to go that route. I am very happy to have Nick Backstrom for another 5 seasons here in Washington.
Locker, help folks like me. I tune into you and Joe B and the Caps every night that they play, and I watch it. I'm a fan, and I enjoy it. I can see the stuff that anyone else can see, right? The passes that, you know, leave the ice and land right on somebody's tape, just, you know, how under control he is as a stick handler and his great hands and everything else. Educate me and other folks. What makes him so special? How is he still doing this? Is, you know, just normal 80-point pace is kind of he always does. He'll end up, you know, among some of the greats of all time in terms of accumulated stats when it's all said and done here in Washington. What has made him this special for so long?
I think that he was born and raised in Sweden to be number one because Swedish players historically, guys, have been very intelligent. And intelligence in hockey and the so-called hockey IQ are very hard to train and to get better at. It's just about you're born with the innate skills of a great player to be like a Nick Backstrom. It's very hard to make great players like Nick Backstrom. That, to me, is a huge difference. He's so cerebral. He's so smart. As Gretzky always says, you know, where the puck is going. Well, that's best described for Nick Backstrom. He reads the play. He's got that hockey IQ that you cannot train. And because of that, guys, he's not the fastest guy. He's not the hardest shot guy. He's not any of these things. He's a package made up of smarts when it comes to every skill he possesses. And he's able to utilize that skill package at the right time, put the puck in the right place, whether it's leading a guy, whether it's passing on the tape, whether it's putting a puck behind somebody. He's one of those very few guys. If you look around the NHL among great centers, they all have that trait And a lot of the guys coming into the league now are of Swedish descent, are able to have that training over in Sweden. I think Europeans are trained totally different, but we're starting to catch up in North America. But that's what separates Nick Backstrom from everybody else, and that's why he's going to have great longevity in the NHL. And I'm not sure this will be his last contract. He can play the game at any speed he wants, and because of that, he may play to 40 or more.
Wow, 40 or more would be incredible. Craig Lachlan with us on Grant and Danny. And I get it. I mean, it's not like it's a – It's not Carl Hagelin's speed game. It's not like he's overly physical. He's smart. He makes plays before they happen. So I completely understand the thinking. I thought, tell me if you agree with this or not. From just a financial standpoint, Locker, if you take Backstrom's name out of this and what he's accomplished in D.C. and you just say you gave a guy his age, you know, with his recent production, this contract, you might say, man, that's a bit of an overpay. Obviously, you can't do that. To me, this is a lifetime achievement award. This is a – he and Ovechkin built Chinatown. Those two guys made hockey what it is in this town. With all due respect to so many greats like you who came before them and are instrumental in this sport, I mean, they are the most dominant hockey figures we've ever had. And so I think you just kind of say thank you and give him this deal if this is what it takes.
Absolutely, because, Grant, I think you're worried sometimes when you're – giving players, a lot have gone wrong giving the players at this age a five-year term. And you'll see it around the NHL where teams are saying, oh, my God, we've got this guy for 5 years. And after 3 years, you see a huge drop in his play. I don't see that from Nick, but if it does happen, you are right on point that they have made this town a very hockey-friendly town. And people love the Caps, and they've been part of the build to make this franchise what it is with, what is it, close to 300 consecutive sellouts, a Stanley Cup. So, yeah, he's paid for that, but I'm okay because I think he's not going to be one of those guys that in 3 years we say, oh, my God, we still got $18 million on the books for Nick Backstrom. I think I see that in some other players around the league where they are burning it up because of their speed, and all of a sudden their hands and their legs don't work together. Nick's never going to have that problem. And that's why I'm thinking, yeah, he was paid because of the things you mentioned, but I think the Caps truly believe he's not one of these players that are going to go on a huge decline come third year of this contract because it happens around the NHL. I don't think it's going to happen with Nick.
Craig Lachlan with us here, Grant and Danny, his normal weekly spot, hanging out with us. Locker, the actual club this year at this point, they got off to that rip-roaring start for the first couple months. Now they're just a few points up on Pittsburgh. This, you know, them not continuing at that amazing pace, I think was expected. It's normal. It happens. It's such a long season. You think this can be good for them, though, to A, having a rival nipping at their heels, and B, to kind of go through this as maybe a reminder, hey, you can't take this for granted. You got to bring it every night.
Yeah, and what's interesting, Dan, is we haven't played Pittsburgh yet.
Yeah, I know.
I watch them on TV, and I'm saying, oh, my God, they waxed Minnesota again last night. They were doing it with all these injuries. They got Jerry and Matt, not their normal goaltender. He's running with it. I mean, there's just something special about Pittsburgh and Caps being rivalries, and I think having somebody nipping at their tails will actually make the Capitals buckle down. You know, they got off to such a great start. I honestly believe the holiday month of December to about mid-January took doldrums of the season because players have already said, okay, we got off to a great start. Then you go through a lull. And now, to me, there's another push ahead. And I think it happens, whether it happens now or often happens right after the All-Star break, which is next week. Teams really get focused on playing better and playing harder and not taking shortcuts. It's always in our mind as players, and I even had it, guys, that, you know what, am I going to stop and start or I'm just going to take a quick turn? And taking the quick turn doesn't take as much wear and tear on your body. It's a lot easier to play that way. But in playoffs, as we know, if you don't stop and start defensively in particular, you're going to be burned and you're not going to win. So to me, that's the transition the Caps have to have. I mean, they have 31 wins. They have 67 points, guys. But I like the fact there's some push. I wouldn't be as happy probably. Well, you're going to be happy, but you might not think the team would really ramp up if they were 20 points ahead of everybody. I think having somebody close by in the Metropolitan are going to push this Caps team to be even better.
4 points.
Because they're not playing well, guys. They haven't played well, really, in about 12 games. They have not played to their identity as well as possible. It's just that their skill takes over the will of teams that just don't have it, guys. There's a lot of mediocre teams in the NHL, and the Caps can get by just utilizing their skill, a save here and there, a power play here and there, and that's why they can win. But it's not going to happen when things get tougher down the stretch here.
And that's why Locker's the best. Calls it how he sees it, and they're winning, and he's saying, yeah, they're winning, but they need to play better. Mm-hmm. They got a 4-point lead on the Penguins, who they've played one more game then, and a 7-point lead on the Isles and Barry Trotz, who they have played two more games then. Craig, always wonderful having you on the show. Thank you so much, buddy.
We'll see you, buddy.
Thanks, guys. Talk next week.
You got it. Great week for Capitals fans as Nicklas Backstrom is locked up and under contract. Locker's with us each week on the show presented by American Standard Heating and Air. Find your local contractor at midatlanticcomfort.com. What the NFL is trying to do to combat fewer people going to games. Next on G&D.
Grant and Danny here for our friends at EMP 180 Weight Loss. Listen, you've heard us talk about this for a while. The reason we talk about it is it's still working. We're both graduates of the program. It's still happening for us. Because EMP is not just some diet you don't, you know, send away. You don't have some video conference with somebody that you'll never meet or just get a bunch of bars in the mail. No, this is a lifestyle change. This is a way to figure out where your challenges are. This is a way to figure out how to be the best version of yourself. It may not be abs up to your neck, but I'm telling you, I look better than I have in years, and it's thanks to EMP 180.
Yeah, I still look back at my pictures at my heaviest, and I'm going, oh, why did I get that heavy? And even now, you feel bad after the holidays. You eat bad, you put on a few pounds, and you think about where you've come from, and you go, I can get right back where I was at my best, and I could certainly still take some solace in where I'm at because of the good folks at EMP 180. How about the fact that I got a text from Jim Moore that owns the company this weekend? 1,000 of our listeners have now signed up for the program. Hundreds of them have graduated, and almost all of them have had immense success. 1,000 of our listeners. We're looking for 1,001.
EMP180.com. EMP180.com or call 855-888-0180.
At 1:30, just about 10 minutes from now, on Grant and Danny, Mike Stanton, Astros TV host pre and post. There's plenty to ask him about. AJ Hinch gone. Who's going to manage? Jeff Luhnow out. Who's going to run the team? Can you even promote internally at this point?
Mm.
Do you have to go outside the organization?
I think you have to go outside.
You probably do.
Everybody's got the stink on them.
You have to, I would think. Is this the end of the run for that team? I mean, that was year three last season of what looked like it was going to be 7 or 8 for that group. Are they just cooked? Are they done? We'll ask Mike Stanton about that, who's second all-time in relief appearances, by the way.
Who's number one? Orozco?
Jesse Orozco.
Yeah.
Most ever.
Everyday Eddie lefties, man.
Jesse Orozco pitched
in six decades.
I want to say it was like 22 seasons or something. I'd have to look it up.
I believe it.
But that's the number on the top of my head.
Just a left-handed crossfire delivery. Step into first base. Here we go.
I'd never seen this before. I read my Axios email that I always talk about this morning. I always now do the trivia with you. They give me a little trivia question.
I always like it.
It's fun.
I like it. Have a good time.
But this was something I saw today that I had no file on. So the NFL has an observation program. Have you heard of this? Am I in the dark on this?
I've never heard of this.
So basically, reading from this email, despite being America's most popular sports league, the NFL still faces the same attendance concerns as its peers. Here's your proof. This past year in 2019, teams averaged about 66,650 attendees per game, the lowest for the NFL in 15 years. You hear that, and it hits you, but I don't know how much it surprised you. Attendance the lowest this season, an average of 66K per game in 15 years. NFL red zone, fantasy football, gambling opportunities in casinos, Sunday ticket, high-definition television, 70-inch flat screens, recliners, my own potato chips and Coca-Cola Classic or iced tea. There's 1,000 reasons why people don't go to games anymore.
Oh, yeah.
Parking and money and, the drunk guy next to you.
Feel like you're getting gouged and screamed at. That's
some guy trying to punch you in the face. I mean, how many videos do you see of these fights in parking lots?
Uh-huh.
You take your kid to a game, and they got to see a fist fight and hear everyone and cursing. It's not like baseball, really, where you show up and you go to the game. This is 2.5 hours of drinking beforehand. It's a different kind of crowd. But does it surprise you at all this is the worst in 15 years or no?
No, I think this is what the...
Just going to keep going down.
Yeah, I think this is what we're fighting. Everything you mentioned. For a lot of people, it's not fun anymore. You don't feel like it's you get the return on the investment. The cost has only gone up, by the way, as demand has gone, not so much.
Cost continues to climb. Demand continues to go down. There's got to be a correction at some point.
Now, I mean, obviously, you'll laugh at me and point to the Redskins where they had $5 tickets or whatever in the lower bowl for certain games. But in general, I'm talking NFL-wide. Going to a game is more expensive than it's ever been.
But I would bet, and I could be wrong. Someone tell me I'm wrong. Call me on it, 800-636-1067, or you can tweet me. I would think season tickets like this coming year are the most expensive they've ever been. Those numbers don't go down, right?
You wouldn't think.
I would be shocked if you're a season ticket holder. It's like living in an apartment. Every year the rent goes up a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Now, sometimes maybe like this year if the Redskins are terrible, maybe it levels off. But I would have to imagine, if you compare this year's season ticket rate to 5 years ago, it's got to be up, even though it's been bad seasons.
I mean, like cost, the rate of tickets?
Yeah, the number that you're paying, the overall total that you're shelling out.
Mm-hmm.
I think it goes up all the time. It doesn't really go down. But here's what I saw that surprised me. At every NFL game, league employees are hidden in the crowd, tracking everything that happens. Their goal is to better understand and enhance, ultimately, the fan experience and to keep people interested in attending stadiums for live games. So these secret shoppers, as they call them, were at a game last month with a reporter who wrote a story for Sports Business Journal named Ben Fisher. I'm going to read it right after the show today.
Mm-hmm.
But I just think it's a cool idea. So he followed these two secret shoppers around as they're observing everything from off-field operations, concessions, and what's playing on the Jumbotron, trying to get a better feel for stadium experience. I'd never known that the NFL is sending employees to every game to do this. Does that surprise you? I mean, that's a pretty good idea.
It does not surprise me because this league has always, listen, sometimes they can't get out of their own way, a.k.a. what's a catch, this pass interference, challenge rule. Sometimes they just can't figure it out how to make their product is so good and they tweak it to make it worse. But this is the kind of stuff on the business end, they've always been forward thinking. They've always kind of said, what's the next frontier? What's the next thing? And now they're all, gassed up to find a team in London or put a team in Mexico or have international stuff. They're trying to conquer different frontiers. They recognize, and I think they figured this out probably a while ago, this is going to be an issue for us. While our product is made for television, actually our product's not made for television. Crap. That means fewer people are coming to the stadium.
Right.
And that's easy cash for owners. I mean, listen, the overall money, it's television. Television money is first, second, third, fourth, all the way down to 99.
They'll prioritize that all
right?
the time.
But the cash on a weekly basis to do payrolls and to, I want to buy a new suit or whatever the hell the guys are doing up at the top, that comes from your gates. That comes from right there. You hand it over, the concessions, everybody gets paid out. That's your cash on a weekly basis. The big overarching stuff kind of is, one pile getting moved to the other and the value of your franchise goes up. You need attendance. You do. That's kind of your daily lifeblood. That's what, owners and front office people talk about. So they're smart to try to counter this. I don't know how you fix it other than to do what Arthur Blank does.
So I don't think you can win, and I don't think you can fix it, so to speak, to use your phrase. I do think you can try to quell this. The big thing to me is you've seen the end of the 90 and 100,000-seat stadiums. This is not college football.
Mm-hmm.
The Redskins, when they build their next stadium, that should be a 55,000-seat stadium. Let's not go quite to the level of the soccer field like Audi or whatever that the Chargers are playing at.
23K or whatever.
I think it's like 23 to 25 at seats or something. But I'd say closer to that than 100 like Jerry's World. I'd rather have 47,000 in an NFL stadium than 79 probably or 85 or something. I think smaller can be better. With the correct blueprint could be just as loud. Everyone on top of the field. Make it more of a demand to get in again so that you don't have thousands and thousands of empty seats. The perfect number for me is probably low to mid-50s, somewhere in that 55 to 60 range. But with standing room only, get up to 60. But But I think bigger than that is unnecessary.
It's silly now, right?
It seems like it. That, to me, is one big change you'll see. Mike Stanton's about to see a lot of big changes with the Astros. Pre and post host, they are in all kinds of hot water. They have fired their manager and their GM. They were cheating, potentially even against the Nationals in the World Series. We'll ask him about it next on Grant and Danny. Before he was a television commentator, breaking down Astros baseball pre and post, Mike Stanton was a reliever in Major League Baseball.
He was nasty.
Who pitched in more games than everybody other than Jesse Orosco in the history of the sport. He joins us on Grant and Danny here on The Fan. Mike, good to talk to you again, buddy. How are you?
Grant, Danny, I'm doing well, man. How are you guys today?
Good, buddy.
Good. What an insane few days. You know, you and I do radio together nationally yeah. talking baseball, and you have followed this Astros team closely. You have tight relationships with so many in that building. I don't know if I can say it's surprising because these kind of rumors have been out there for a while, but just go back to initially the suspensions of Hinch and Luno and then the firings and your reactions of what happened.
Yeah, I can't say it was shocking. I can't say that it really caught anybody off guard. I was a little bit surprised only because of the history of suspensions in Major League Baseball, that the suspensions were as long as they were. I was kind of expecting, you know, a few months, maybe half the season. So that was, but we knew at the very beginning that Rob Manfred had said that, you know, you're going to have to make an example. You know, this is a very serious offense, and he needed to send a message to the rest of the league that this just simply is not going to be tolerated. So, I can't say I was completely surprised other than the length of the suspension. I was a little bit more surprised at the simple fact that Jim Crane immediately turns around and fires both of them. You know, that was, I thought that maybe kind of take a temperature of how the fan base is, but I also see his point of it. So that was more surprising that he turned around and fired both of them pretty much on the spot.
So this doesn't happen without the investigation from Ken Rosenthal, The Athletic, and company. And it sounds like the word's been out in some capacity, in some way, Mike, for a few years. Can you balance this for me? I think a lot of fans don't get this. For someone as successful as you at the big league level, there's kind of a code. You don't betray your guys. You don't betray a team you may have played for or whatever else. But the other part that would be tugging at me is if I'm a pitcher, and I'm getting shellacked because somebody knows what's coming from some nefarious means, I'm telling everybody. What's the balance there in terms of this not coming out until now?
Well, I think that there's a little misnomer here thinking that, listen, this is a, I don't want to say an extraordinary situation because, you know, everyone's looking for an advantage all the time. Mm-hmm. Now, did the Astros go over and above? Well, it definitely sounds like they did. And Rob Manfred, Major League Baseball, definitely believe that they did. And evidence, you know, the evidence speaks for itself. So, but this is something that happens all the time. You know, this is a situation that every team is looking for an advantage. Yes, you would love for all those advantages to make sure they're on the up and up, they are legal, but you know, we live in a time that is in shades of gray. You know, this is not a black and white world. And so getting caught up in the whole idea of trying to win and doing everything at all costs. You know, I remember back in 2017, you know, the crazy thing about it, people need to remember this, is that the Astros were one of the best teams in baseball history hitting on the road that year. Okay, not hitting at home, hitting on the road. Mm-hmm. And I remember asking AJ Hinch questions myself. The media was asking every single solitary day, what's wrong with this team at home? What's wrong with this team at home? And I think they just got caught up in the whole idea that, you know, we don't know. We got to try and fix this. And they end up doing something that they shouldn't have. And, you know, for everyone to point your finger and everything, you know, that's their prerogative. That's the whole idea of being a fan. But you got to remember, you know, this didn't happen overnight. This happened over a long period of time. And on the other side of this, I just heard an interview by Phil Gardner, It was Scrap Iron, who was an Astros manager. He's an Astros fan right now. He's just a guy around town. And he actually made a statement, and I was something I was going to talk about myself, but it means more coming from him, being a longtime player, being a position player. You know, there were times that they knew exactly what was coming also. How they got the information is a different story, but he didn't want to know. He said, if I knew a fastball was coming, it's 5 feet outside, I'm swinging at it because I knew it was coming. So I knew a lot of hitters that just simply did not want to know what was coming. And you also have to remember, even when you know what's coming, it's still the hardest thing to do in sports.
Mike Stanton on Grant and Danny pitched in every postseason from 91 to 02 with four different teams. Pretty crazy. I had a hell of a career, and he's now on TV pre and post covering the Astros. Do you think A.J. Hinch or Alex Cora or Jeff Luhnow will get jobs in baseball again?
I think that we have to wait and see. As far as Alex Cora is concerned, I think we have to wait and see what Major League Baseball, the investigation, comes up with. You know, I think that the Red Sox were being very proactive in going ahead and letting him go. But A.J. Hinch, you know, I think A.J. Hinch will definitely manage again. You know, he is very, very good at his job. He's an incredible communicator. It was proven in the information that came out that he really didn't have anything to do with this. He didn't do anything about it, and that's why he ultimately lost his job. Jeff Luhnow on the other side, that may be a little bit more difficult. You know, I think he will definitely work in baseball again. I don't know if he'll ever get to run another organization. And not because of the scandal of what happened with the sign stealing, but with the other information that came out about how the baseball operations side of the Astros was being run. And I know Jim Crane came out and said he did not agree with the findings from the commissioner's office and the investigation. But to me, that was a little bit more, I think the commissioner called it problematic.
Meaning
on how the system was run.
Yeah, just you mean the cultural issues?
I'm sorry, repeat that.
What do you clarify what you mean by that? You're talking about like cultural issues? I don't know if our listeners know exactly what
yes.
you mean.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. In the report, it said that the culture of the baseball operations department, how it was run, was problematic. And I think that, even though he didn't go in depth in what that meant, I think that speaks a lot for how things were being run. And again, you know, this is all speculation only because Jim Crane turned around and said he did not agree with the investigation at all, that he felt like everything was on the up and up, everything was run correctly for the baseball operations. But I think if he's turning around trying to get a job with another organization, I think that he has to, those issues have to be addressed.
Mike, how should the Dodgers feel in all this? You know what I mean? The teams that were, I hate to say victims, but the teams that the Astros, who are great with or without sign stealing, ended up beating on their way to, you know, a couple World Series appearances, a title, ALCS, yeah. and the like. How should teams...
If they beat the Nats in Game 7, I would be livid.
Yeah, I mean, tearing hair out. I mean, it's impossible to comprehend. What should they be thinking?
Well, I think, you know, I had that question the other day, yesterday, and, you know, does this make the Dodgers feel better? No, it makes the Dodgers feel worse. And for me, the reason I say that is just simply because you're over it. It's happened. You know, you're not talking about something that just happened a couple months ago. It happened a couple years ago. Even with the Red Sox, it happened a couple years ago. So I think you're by it. Now this just kind of brings up all those old feelings. And, you know, you have to remember that the Dodgers did not win every game at home in Dodger Stadium. You know, the Astros, they won Game 7 in Dodger Stadium. So it's just one of those situations that I feel like it just brings up a lot of old bad memories with bringing all this up again. So I would think that the Dodger fans and the Dodger organization, I think they would feel worse about it than they did, maybe a week ago.
Mike Stanton on Grant and Danny in Houston covering the Astros day in and day out on TV. Thanks, buddy. Much appreciated as always.
Hey, anytime.
That job changed considerably in the last few days for him.
I mean, that squad's still going to be nasty. It's still the most talented team maybe in baseball, right?
Yes. I think that suddenly the AL West is probably up for grabs just because your entire front office could be restructured and you're not going to have your manager. So how many wins is all that worth? I don't really know. They'll still make the playoffs, I'd imagine. I mean, they're really, really good. If if none of these players get in trouble, it doesn't seem like they're going to. But how much worse off are they if they're not doing this? I mean, that's another question. I can't imagine that much because, again, their numbers on the road and at home over three straight years
that
are almost identical.
Shocked me.
He's Danny. I'm Grant. This is The Fan. We'll hit the leftovers. Best of the rest we haven't covered yet before we get out of here. Next. Top of the mountain.
Because they're perennially just right there. They've been basically a quarterback away for, you know, 20-some years. When was the last time they did it? I actually don't know the answer
Nick Saban.
They won it with Saban?
Yeah, he won a national title there.
So what's that, like 15 years?
If I had to guess, I would say that was early 2000s.
Before he bailed on the Dolphins and said he wasn't going to Alabama, which he was. I don't remember.
Wizards play tonight. They got the Bulls, Chicago, United Center, 8 o'clock tip. They are back home Monday against the Pistons. So in the meantime, they've got tonight's game in Chicago, and then they're north of the border in Toronto on Friday.
Rui has made the trip, I believe. I don't know if he's going to play or not. Just that the contusion to his groin was apparently pretty severe. It's kept him out for a while.
Yeah, well, that's a gross-sounding injury. Yeah. Have you read at all about that?
I actually purposely did not. I'm not trying to be a jerk. I was obtusely not reading that.
It's one of those things you read it and you kind of double over and you're just in pain.
Yeah.
That was not a good injury.
Yeah. I saw it live. We'll do it live. And it was bad. And I said, I hope he's okay. And it turns out he was not for a while.
He's not been okay. 127-116 loss last time out. They gave up .127 to the Jazz. I know Utah's really good. 27-12.
Yeah.
In that game, they had three different. Matter of fact, because Jordan Clarkson scored 23, I think. They had four different guys score 20 or more points against the Wizards in that game.
Yeah,
they did whatever they wanted with the basketball.
It's a typical night, right?
Caps not in action until tomorrow night. XFL, you got Chad Ochocinco Johnson trying out as a kicker. And I saw today, I don't know if this was just a fun publicity thing or if this is like a real thing. I have no idea. I'm guessing it was just skits and bits. But PFD commenter from the Pardon My Take podcast was like trying out with the defenders. So with the last two stories I've heard now on the XFL are Chad Johnson and a popular media personality trying out as kickers. Makes you wonder, where are we going with this? Are we doing football? Are we trying to get eyeballs? What do we want to be here?
Yeah, the question is, what do you want to be? Every coach I ever had, every teacher basically would ask that question in one form or another. What do you want to be? What do you want to do? Do you want to skate by, get a C? Do you want to give a medium amount of effort and just be okay? Or do you want to be great? And that's kind of what I'm thinking about. It applies here. Do you want to be taken seriously? Because what undid the first XFL is one of the things that maybe hardcore wrestling fans loved most about it. It's Jesse the Body Ventura accusing, McMahon of like running roughshod and doing like nefarious things to cheat. And, the let's get inside the women's locker room for the cheerleaders and all those bits that had nothing to do with good football. If you have great quality football, people might have a chance to become fans of it. You get storylines. You get people moving. This is, we're a legitimate league. We're taking our time with it. But here are a couple gimmicks. Sideshow. Right. It doesn't look as good.
My guess is they're trying to be a football outlet that's going to play high-end quality, good football, non-NFL division.
Mm-hmm.
In the meantime, you get a few eyeballs where you can. So just as an example, if Chad Johnson kicked in a game, it's a kicker. It's not like he's playing quarterback or something like that. If you can get a few extra people to tune in because they want to watch Chad Johnson kick, no problem. My guess is when you're trying out media personalities with big followings and things, as a kicker, it's for the video that'll get posted on social media.
Uh-huh.
It's for kind of the fun of people for a day paying attention that may not have otherwise. Now, if those people are actually kicking or playing wide receiver in the games, then I'll have a conversation about the league needing to rethink its plan. To me, this is just kind of fun, drumming up a little interest a month before the game starts.
I guess here's where I'm going with it.
And by the way, you should have been out there kicking so you could show them. You could go 19 of 20 from 40 yards.
The kicking is easy. The point I'm trying to make. For someone like me who has no interest in it, I didn't have any interest in the AFL or any of the other sort of rogue leagues that pop up and then have gone away in our history. To me, in order for me to start paying attention to it, I want this league to be established, have, an entire season under its belt before folding and being canceled. I'm not just going to start investing time, energy, and whatever into it if I don't think it's got staying power. Gimmicks like this make it seem less legitimate to people like me that I think need convincing. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does.
Now, again, this is you're right. Of course, this is nothing. This is a kicker tryout in January when the weather's unseasonably warm. No, I'm not saying anything about it. But if we've got to put it in one of two categories, help or hurt. For me, it hurts. And I think there are a lot of people like me, which is why a lot of these leagues haven't gotten the buy-in that some people think.
I'll say help for right now, because I think all they're doing right now is trying to get people to talk about the XFL.
Mm.
When the games start, then everything needs to be focused on the product. But for right now, if people don't watch and care and aren't interested or invested, then nothing else matters.
Because my view is this is not a legitimate league. These are guys that couldn't make NFL practice squads, and I'm not excited about it. And if you're gimmicking up with PFT wearing his sunglasses with a single bar helmet, and I'm going, that doesn't add legitimacy to the talent level that we're talking about here. Again, I know it's a gimmick. I'm able to discern.
Sure.
I'm an adult, but just sort of general principle here.
Today's winners, Larry Fitzgerald coming back for his 17th season with the Cardinals. Good for him. Luke Kuechly stepping away, the antithesis of that, at 28 years old for the Panthers. Pretty courageous and commendable of him, leaving what was a lot of millions of dollars in Pro Bowl appearances, Hall of Fame caliber seasons, in front of the dashboard.
Yeah.
I mean, he had a lot of football left. Thanks for listening. Always appreciate it. Great job by Brendan and Thom. For Danny, I'm Grant saying so long. We'll do it again tomorrow. If you miss any part of the show, go to thefantasy.com, grantanddanny.com/audio.
And now our one.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.